Join me in Zechariah chapter 5, please, as we return to our study of the prophet Zechariah, preaching to the nation of Israel after their return from Babylonian captivity. We are among the visions given to Zechariah. Hear the word of the Lord as it is given to us in the Holy Scriptures. Zechariah chapter 5. Again, I lifted my eyes and saw, and behold, a flying scroll. And he said to me, "What do you see?" I answered, "I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits, and its width 10 cubits. Then he said to me, "This is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole land. For everyone who steals shall be cleaned out according to what is on one side, and everyone who swears falsely shall be cleaned out according to what is on the other side. I will send it out, declares the Lord of hosts. And it shall enter the house of the thief, and the house of him who swears falsely by my name. And it shall remain in his house and consume it, both timber and stones." Then the angel who talked with me came forward and said to me, "Lift up your eyes, lift your eyes, and see what this is that is going out." And I said, "What is it?" He said, "This is the basket that is going out." And he said, "This is their iniquity in all the land." And behold, the leaden cover was lifted, and there was a woman sitting in the basket. And he said, "This is wickedness." And he thrust her back into the basket and thrust down the leaden weight on its opening. Then I lifted my eyes and saw, and behold, two women coming forward. The wind was in their wings. They had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the basket between heaven and earth. Then I said to the angel who talked with me, "Where are they taking the basket?" He said to me, "To the land of Shinar, to build a house for it. And when it is prepared, they will set the basket down there on its base." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and I do pray our understanding. I see you shaking your head, David. We have come to the sixth and seventh of the eight visions given to the prophet Zechariah, and once again, as I'm kind of alluding to here, a very challenging vision. In verse 1, the angel of the Lord who is here showing this and speaking to Zechariah asked him, "What do you see?" Zechariah answered, "I see a flying scroll. Its length 20 cubits and its width 10 cubits. And then down in verse 5 and 6, we read, lift your eyes and see what this is that is going out. And I said, "What is it?" He said, "This is a basket going out." And he said, "This is their iniquity in all the land." And if we read on, we read that the basket has a lead, very heavy cover. And then there's a woman sitting in the basket. I have a prayer here. Lord, we need your help and understanding. And I think that would be an understatement. I have been pondering on this sermon for 2 weeks. And only received it on Thursday. So we continue to pray. Reading on in the text, it does represent, or it does give us, that the scroll represents a curse that is going out into the land. And the basket that the woman is sitting in represents sin and wickedness of the land. That much we can glean just simply from the text. Now, before moving on and to help us put this back into context from the overall book, Zechariah is preaching to the nation of Israel about the restoration of Israel and the rebuilding of the temple. But as we look forward into the New Testament times, he is really preaching about the coming kingdom of God. The book of Zechariah is preaching about the coming kingdom of God. In previous visions, we've seen craftsmen rebuilding the temple, a vision of Joshua the high priest and his sins being accused and acknowledged before God by Satan. But yet those sins were taken away and he was given clean garments. The vision of Zerubbabel and the work of the Holy Spirit. Again, the work of God and the kingdom of God preparing a people. And all of this is pointing to the consummation and the fulfillment of the kingdom of God that we will see from this perspective in the coming of Jesus Christ. In these previous visions, we've seen a Lord who loves and restores his people, even acknowledging their sin of rebellion that led them to Babylon. He's bringing them back, rebuilding the temple, reinstituting their worship. We see a Lord here that loves and cares and nurtures his people. But as we are moving into here, we have to ask the question, what of the wickedness of the world? What is to come of the rebellious immoralities of the world, of the land? What is God going to do about that? Now, we from our New Testament perspective looking back can have a very easy answer for that. But let's stay here with these, who only have the promise of the coming Messiah. They have not yet seen him and his work. And so here, these people who have been distraught over their enemy attacks and even their laziness in rebuilding the temple, they see the wickedness all around them. What's going to happen to that, Lord? We're rebuilding the temple, but will we ever find peace? That's what the Israelite is looking for today. Even today, they're still looking for that man who will bring peace to the nation of Israel and cause them, allow them, lead them to overwhelm their enemies, and there will be peace in the land. That's what the Israelite is waiting on today. The world's wickedness, we must know and we are assured of, the world's wickedness will have no place in the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. So it has to be dealt with. 1 Corinthians 6:9, Paul writes, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived." This is what we see in the two visions given here in Zechariah. Wickedness will be dealt with. And while this should cause us to check ourselves and the lives we live, and we should not let sin and corruption and unrighteousness have that rule and reign in our lives, because just as it's promised here that wickedness will be dealt with, so will it be in our lives if it finds that foothold, if it finds that place. But folks, I am looking at this passage more as an encouragement for us. As an encouragement. The wickedness that we see at every turn in our world today will not be tolerated by a holy and righteous God. There will be a curse sent out to deal with the unrighteous, and the wickedness will be scooped up, fully contained, and taken away, and put in a place especially designed, especially built for it. Rest assured. And in brief, that's what this vision, these two visions here, is giving us. God will deal with wickedness. God will deal with iniquity. So let's dig in a little deeper here. Again, I give you the first four verses of this chapter. Again, I lifted my eyes and saw, and behold, a flying scroll. And he said to me, "What do you see?" I answer, "I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits, and its width 10 cubits. Then he said to me, "This is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole land. For everyone who steals shall be cleaned out according to what is on one side, and everyone who swears falsely shall be cleaned out according to what is on the other side." I will stop there. A flying scroll. We translate cubits to our English measuring system. This scroll is about 15 by 30 feet. Rather large scroll, more like a billboard. And on it a curse is pronounced. A curse is written out that can be read. If you do this, this will be the outcome. And the curse is aimed at those who steal. And the curse is aimed at those who falsely swear. Now, this curse is pronounced by what is written on two sides of the scroll. One sin will be dealt with by what is written on one side. The other sin will be dealt with by what's written on the other side. Now, the Old Testament person, again, I want us to stay in the Old Testament mindset here. The Old Testament person hearing that this scroll had two sides, we believe would immediately remind them of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments written on two stones, two parts of one stone, possibly even the back and front of a singular stone. These Ten Commandments are at the very bedrock of the Christian life, of the Israeli life here, of worship, of honoring God. Now, I say that to bring this into play, and let me remind you of the Ten Commandments. I know all of you have them memorized and know them by heart, but let me just do this for me. Because we need to also know how the Ten Commandments are broken up, which will lead us to understanding the text. The first four commandments address our relationship with God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a graven image. You shall not take the name of the Lord God in vain. And you shall remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Everything is vertical. Everything is between us and God vertically. The remaining six, 5 through 10, have to do with our relationships. They're horizontal. Honor your father and mother, shall not murder, shall not commit adultery, shall not steal, shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, and you shall not covet your neighbor's house. And so we believe, in a summary fashion, this is what Zechariah is showing the people, or the vision being given. Swearing falsely. What does that mean? It means that you are using God's name in vain. Because here, as it says in verse 4, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God. You shall not swear falsely in my name. Meaning that you are dishonoring God by using his name as a gravity, adding strength and power to your swearing. Sounds kind of weird. But swearing falsely simply means you're using God's name in a wrong way. And in Commandment 3, it says, you shall not take the name of your Lord God in vain. So the wickedness pointed out here by swearing falsely simply means that those who repeatedly use God's name in an improper way, who do not honor God by their words or their by actions, this curse will be directly aimed at them. Secondly, those who are stealing. What is stealing? Certainly it is taking some other's property. It's something that does not belong to you. But what is stealing really? It is denying the mere reality of the other person. It is denying ownership, privilege. It is denying rightful personhood of another person. So as we look at commandment number 8, it says, you shall not steal. But what are all of the last six commandments about? Honoring my neighbor. Honoring them, acknowledging them, taking care, praying for, loving them, etc., etc. So when I steal from someone, disregarding them entirely. So here, what we see in I will admit, a very obscure way, is a summary of the Ten Commandments in two statements. Very similar to Luke chapter 10, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Well, if I'm using God's name improperly, I'm not honoring and loving him, and if I'm stealing from you, I am not loving you. And so this vision given here is a curse that will be sent out against those who are, by their very lifestyle, by the very character of nature, are breaking God's laws. And folks, this vision here in Zechariah is given to the people of God, to the community of God. It's not given to the world. It's given to us. Which, when you think about it, is rather staggering. If there are those who are non-repentant, if there are those living a lifestyle of persistent law-breaking, these will be dealt with in the very end, in an extreme manner. Now, as we have been talking about in Sunday school, while we are redeemed individuals and we no longer live under the power of sin, but that old residue of a sinful nature is there, and so we do fall into sin from time to time, and just as we did earlier, we come here, we confess. You don't have to wait till you come here. Repent, and we find that loving grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not speaking to those. It is speaking to that one whose essence, whose very nature and their character is just non-God. And sadly, again, I remind you, he is speaking to the people of God, named people of God. And this curse will be sent out, and they will be dealt with. Again, at verse 4, I will send it out, the curse, declares the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter the house of the thief and the house of him who swears falsely by my name, and it shall remain in his house and consume it, both timber and stones. The curse is sent out by God, and it is sent out and directed toward those who are breaking the laws of God. And that curse will totally consume everything about that person. You see, there's no place for an unrepentant person within the kingdom of God. While we are here in this church, that door is open to everyone. But I truly don't know who are truly members of the kingdom of God. I don't know your heart. But you see, here this curse tells us that God himself will come at some point and root those out of there. We are to allow the wheat and the tares to grow. Because see, that's God's job, to come here and root that out when the time comes that he is acknowledged and given. And as it says, it will totally consume it, both timber and stones. What that is telling us, that the entire dwelling place, the entire family, the entire person of this individual, all of the, will be totally gone. I think there's an Old Testament story that follows that same parallel. The sinful character will find no place to hide before God. Now, let's turn our attention to this woman in a basket. I may ask the good Lord when we get there, could you come up with something better than this? Seriously. A woman in a basket. But here we are. Look with me again at verses 5 through 8. Then the angel who talked with me came forward and said to me, lift your eyes and see what this is that is going out. And I said, what is it? He said, this is the basket that is going out. And he said, this is their iniquity in all the land. And behold, the leaden cover was lifted, and there was a woman sitting in the basket. And he said, this is wickedness. And he thrust her back into the basket and thrust down the leaden weight on its opening. The key verse here is the latter part of verse 6. This is the basket that is going out. And he said, this is their iniquity in all the land. The basket is going out, away from the people of God. It's going out. In the Hebrew language, this word for a basket is ephah. We see it often in text. Ephah is a basket used to carry, but it had a precise, as well as it could in a straw basket, a precise measured amount, about 3/5 of a bushel. And this basket was used in the marketplace to buy and sell grain. And when you had a basket, an ephah of grain, you knew exactly what you had. It was an established measure. The picture given here to Zechariah is that in the coming day of the Lord, the basket will be filled with its full measure of all of the iniquity of the land. And that basket will be sent out. Being full means that all of the iniquity of the land on the day of the Lord will all be gone. Nothing will be left behind. And we see the woman sitting in the basket. Ladies, I do apologize, but in many places and many times, the female character is a figure used to represent immorality. That's what we see here. This lady is named. Wickedness in your text is a W capitalized. It is in mine. This is this lady's name. Just like the great prostitute of Revelation 17. That's capitalized. That's that lady's name. Well, in the Israel history, names meant something. They represented a certain character. They represented a certain thing. And so here the Lord's angel points to Zechariah and said, that lady sitting in the basket is wicked and wickedness. and she is shoved down into the basket, and then the leaden cover is covered over her. What has happened to wickedness? Totally removed. Totally removed and is gone out from the people of God. Look with me at verse 9. Then I lifted my eyes and saw, and behold, two women coming forward. The wind was in their wings. They had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the basket between earth and heaven. Then I said to the angel who talked with me, "Where are they taking the basket?" He said to me, "To the land of Shinar, to build a house for it. And when this is prepared, they will set the basket down there on its base." Two women coming, we perceive to be angels, but given the woman identifier, possibly not. And they take it to the land of Shinar. Do you remember where Shinar, what happened there early on in text? The book of Genesis is where the Tower of Babel was built. Also in this same area, in later years, the nation of Babylon came into existence. And also in Scripture, past the story of Babylon here in the Old Testament, Babylon is used generically to portray the place of great evil, immorality, wickedness. And so here, the basket filled with the iniquity and the wickedness lady is taken to the land of Shinar, where she will reside for some time. Now, it is necessary to point out here, bringing back the entire context of what we've gone through in Zechariah, that there have been two dwelling places constructed here. Two dwelling places. First was the dwelling place of God. The temple has been rebuilt. And now we have a house built to contain evil, sin, iniquity, wickedness. And folks, they are far, far, far apart. Never two to be in contact, have any relationship with any of them any longer. You see, in the kingdom of God, there is no place for evil. And it's just, I'll remind you again of what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. The unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There is going to be that day when the Lord returns, and evil and wickedness and sin and iniquity and immorality and all those other nasty words we could use will be totally dealt with and gone. Now again, while I ask us to check our own lives to make sure we don't fall into these categories, it should be great encouragement to us. It should be great encouragement to us. The curse will go out and it will be dealt with. Wickedness, iniquity will be dealt with. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, please. Zechariah is prophecy, pointing forward to the nation of Israel being restored. But it is also a foreshadowing of what is to come, and the book of Revelation underscores what Zechariah is prophesying here, but this is prophecy to us as well. Verse 11, chapter 19, "Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, the one sitting on it, called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are the many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword to which strikes down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he called to all the birds that fly directly overhead, 'Come gather for the great supper of God to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great.' And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth, with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against the army, and the beast was captured. And with it the false prophet who is in the presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. And the rest were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse. And all the birds were gorged with their flesh. Not a pretty sight by any means, but a sight that should bring great hope and encouragement to the people of God. As I mentioned earlier, I am afraid of the world our children are growing up in. It hurts my heart to know what Luke and Justin and my grandsons and Jackson and Connor and Blakely and all that we grow up in. And we could be filled with despair. We could sit here and wring our hands at what is going to face the generation that comes behind us. And we pray that God would come sooner rather than later. But this passage should bring great hope and encouragement for us. Yes, our children, just as we, will live lives of trial and heartache. Christianity is being ostracized as we speak now, into its corners and into its own areas, not to be confused with anything in the marketplace. And as I said, we could sit here and wring our hands and say, "Oh Lord, woe is me, what are we going to do?" Well, we're going to pray. But we're also going to stand with great confidence that the immorality and the wickedness and the iniquity and the sin of this world will be the basket with a woman sitting inside it with a big lead cover over her head, taken to her place where she will reside. And it's far, far away from the people of God. That gives us hope. Great, great hope. Amen. Amen.